We begin the current daf, Masechtas Yuma, daf Tezvav. We begin on the bottom of Yudal Amud Beis, three lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And that is, in our Mishnah, it spoke about what the Kohen Gadol, for the 7 days before Yom Kippurim, that he separated and he stays in Lishkas Bahedrin, that he does the Avodah during that week at the Karban Tamid, so that he's proficient in the Avodah, that he's ready to do it exactly how he's supposed to do it on Yom Kippurim. Now, in the Seder of our Mishnah, it said, as it was saying it, that he's Makta the Keteris and he's Mate of the Neiris, which the Gemara had presented, that it seems like our Mishnah holds that in the order of the Karban Tamid, in the order of what's done in the morning, first you bring the Keteris and then you prepare the Neiris. On that, the Gemara had asked that it seems to contradict the Mishnah later on in our own Masechta of the Seder of Yuma, how it presents it, that it says it the other order around, that first the Menorah was cleaned out and then the Keteris were brought. And that Abai answered that it depends. The Keteris actually came in between the Hatava and the Neiris. First, five of them were cleaned out, then the Keteris were brought, and then the remaining two were done. So our Mishnah that presents as the Keteris coming first was before the remaining two. The Mishnah later on that says the cleaning out of the Menorah came before the Keteris, that was from the original five, that they came first. But then the Gemara had asked, how could Abaye have said that the Keteris was in between? And that's how he resolves the contradiction, depending which one of the Menorahs are we talking about. But he himself said that the Seder HaMaracha of the morning was that it wasn't the Keteris that came in between, because we know there's a Messiah that there has to be something in between, but rather it was the Dam HaTamid that was sprayed in between the cleaning of the Menorah. So how could he say that it was the Keteris? And that the Gemara answered that what Abai was answering for our Mishnayis here and later on was in the Sheet, in the opinion of the Rabbanan. However, that he said the Seder HaMaracha, that the Dam HaTamid came in between, that was going like Abishal, as the Gemara had quoted the Machlekes and the Braisa of Abishal and the Rabbanan. So therefore, when he says the Keteris was in between, that was in the Pinyar Abban. Pinyar Bishal is that no, that the Hatava of the Neiris, all of them come before the Keteris, because it's only the Dam HaTamid that's in between, but the Keteris comes afterwards. Now that's why Agamor continues on this and asks, my time at Abishal, what's the reason of Abishal's opinion that he holds that it was only the Dam HaTamid that came in between? Because he held that it wasn't the Keteris that came in between, because the Keteris actually came after the entire Hatava of the Neiris were done, after all seven were done. Only then were the Keteris done, and therefore he couldn't say it's Keteris, and that's why he said it was the Dam HaTamid. Why does he say that? What's the source of his opinion? So the Gemara says, the Chsiva says, the Pasuk in Shemais, says, Babaker, Babaker, every single morning, Be'etivas and Neiris, when they clean out the Neiris, the candles of the Menorah, the Hadr, and then the Pasuk says, Yaktirena, that then he will bring the Keteris. So you see clearly that the order is, first you clean out all the Neiris of the Menorah, and then you bring in the Keteris. And therefore, if there is something that interrupts, it's not the Keteris, because it comes afterwards. It must be the Dam HaTamid. However, the Rabbanan, so according to them, Maikam Rachmano, what's the Pasuk teaching? If they hold that the Keteris did not come after, because it actually came in between, and there were still some of the Hatavas and Neiris, the remaining two that came afterwards, as we resolved for exactly what our Mishnah meant when it says the Keteris comes, and then there's Metavas and Neiris. So what do they do with the Pasuk if the structure of the Pasuk sounds like that Keteris comes only after you finish cleaning the Menorah? So now we continue on top of Tezvah Amud Aleph. The way they interpret the Pasuk is Be'iden Hatava. It means to say, during the time when the Hatav is being done, that's when the Keteris is brought. And as Abai had explained, that it's actually brought in between, it's in the middle of the cleaning of it. But although it says Keteris afterwards, but Behetivi Esenerus, when you're cleaning out the Menorah, which means to say you're not finished with it yet there, then Yaktereni bring the Keteris, and then you conclude the remaining two afterwards. And as the Gemara says, the Rabban actually proved that that's the way he's supposed to learn it, not like Abishal. It's not that once you finish being made to Vesenaris, then you've been the Keteris. Because this was regarding the Seder HaTamid, the order of the structure of the Avodah in the morning. Because Bein Harbaim Dechseh, because we find similar parallel regarding the evening, when the Karban Tamid is brought in the evening, and then there's also Keteris, and the Avodah of the Menorah is also done at night. Dechseh, it says the Pasuk in Shemais. Uvaha lois Aaron es aneris ben arbayim, that when Aaron goes and lights the menorah at night, then Yaktirena, then he'll bring the Keteris. Now, hachinami, are you going to say over also here, like Abishal, you wanted to say regarding the morning process, when we're cleaning out the menorah and bringing the first half of the Keteris, and then the parallel is at nighttime, when we're lighting menorah and bringing the second half of the Keteris, that first the Bereisha Malik Neris, first you light the menorah, and then Vahodu Makta Keteris ben arbayim, and then you bring the Keteris over the evening. In other words, the way you, Abishal, learns the structure of the Pasuk, if it says something first, then that comes first. And then when it says afterwards, Yaktirena, then you have the Keteris afterwards. So it would come out according to Abishal that regarding the evening time should be similarly that first you light the menorah and then you bring the keteres, just like you want to say in the morning that first you clean the menorah and then you bring the keteres. But on that Rabban say, v'chitem ha'chinam, and if you would want to say that would be the same halach in the evening, first you light the menorah and then you bring the keteres. But v'tan, you learn a braisam, the pasuk in Shemais, which it talks in reference to the neiris of the menorah, it says, Yarech oisei Aaron uvanav, that Aaron and the sons should prepare the menorah, mi erev ad boikah, the pasuk, from evening until morning. Now there's two interpretations that we learn from this pasuk of mi erev ad boikah. First one is, ten law that you should put into the menorah, midasa, the measurement of the oil that should be, shetehei doilekes v'alekes kalalayla, that it could go ahead and burn the candle the entire night, mi erev ad boikah, from evening up until morning. And that the Chacham estimated, which would be the amount of a half a log for every single candle, that would be enough to burn even the longest night, which is in the Tekuv of Tevis, in the deep of winter when the nights are the longest. Now, if there's more left over, let's say on the smaller nights, then there's left over, but to have enough that it could go Me'erev and go all the way up until the morning. That's one halacha. Davar Acher, another interpretation of the pasuk is, when it says Me'erev at Baike, that the candle should be lit from evening up until morning, what it means is in lecha avoda shekasherim me'erev ad boikah, there is no other avoda that's kosher to be done in the Beis HaMikdash from evening until morning, elazubavat, only this one avoda of lighting the menorah. And that is, any other avoda that's done during the daytime is not kosher after the menorah is lit. As the Gemara darshins that it means, oisai, it should be lit me'erev ad boikah, but no other avoda should be me'erev ad boikah. And therefore, we see that clearly, the lighting of the menorah is after the keteres. So therefore, you can't say that that's the interpretation of the pasuk by the evening, that we say yak tiren, although it's said in the chronological order as if it's coming afterwards, but obviously it's not, because we know the menorah is the last thing that's done before the night, so the keteres is not coming after. Elamai kam racham, so what is the Torah telling you when it says that when he's lighting the menorah in the evening and then yak tirena? It means bi'iden hadloka tehimak te keteres. It means when he's going to light, then he'll bring the guitarist, because actually the guitarist is brought before it's lit. So Chinam Yisrael also regarding the morning is the same thing. B'idin ha'tava tehei mak the guitarist. When he's going to clean it out, then he is already going to do beforehand bring of the guitarist and burning the incense, and that's the same idea, because actually the two remaining ones were done after the guitarist, not like Abishal, and that's where the source for their halach is. Now, Abishal would tell you regarding this point that they seem to be proving, that although it says Yakterena afterwards, it doesn't mean after, but it would mean at that time, meaning beforehand, to be doing the Keteres. So Abishal tells you, Shani Hasam, don't bring me a riot from the evening time, because the Chsiv Oisai, there it actually says it. In other words, like the drasha that we said. So it has to be that when you're lighting it, you would have already brought the Keteres, because it says Oisai that the only thing that can be done, the last one from the evening till morning, is the candle. So yes, we have to now darshan the reading of the pasuk. The yekterena means that during, meaning it should precede it. But in the morning, we learn it as the simple translation of the pasuk. And its chronological order is that first you're made to it, first you clean them all out, and then you bring the keteres afterwards. And that is why Abishal said that the avodah that does come in between must be the dama tamid, not the keteres, because the keteres comes afterwards. That concludes Abaye's resolution of the contradiction of our Mishnah and the Mishnah later on, that our Mishnah says first came Keteres and then the cleaning of the Menorah, and that is because it's told about regarding the last two, which was cleaned after the Keteres was brought, and the Mishnah later on that says first came the cleaning of the Menorah and then came the Keteres, was told about the first five which came before, because the Keteres actually came in between. Now Rav Papa says Loi Kasha. He says that challenge, that stira of the order of our Masechta of Yuma regarding the Avoido, which one came first, that it's not a contradiction. And it's not like Abaye had said that one Mishnah is talking about five of the candles and the other Mishnah is talking about two of the candles. But rather, they're all talking about the remaining two that come at the end. Now, so how does he understand then which one? Did the Keteres come before the last two, or did it come after the last two? And that he says, as we already quoted these two opinions, Ha, our Mishnah, which said that the Keteres come first before the remaining two, that's Rabbanan. As we had already said, that the Rabbanan hold that the Keteres come in between. So therefore, when it says that the Menorah comes after the Keteres, it means the remaining two. Ha, the Mishnah later on that says that the Neiris came, all of them came first before the Keteres, was Abishal. That's Abishal's opinion, that he holds that the Keteres comes afterwards. Now, the Gemara asked as follows, according to this interpretation of Rav Papa, so, how is How is Rav Papa explaining this contradiction of the Mishnah? So he says that our Mishnah over here on the previous daf in Daf Yudal Amud Aleph is Kerabbanan, that they hold that first comes, the Keteres comes in between, and therefore the Menorah comes afterwards. Now, Pius, regarding the second parak on Daf Chaf Hei Amud Aleph, where it says regarding the different lotteries that there were, where there it says that the Keteres came afterwards, not before, that he's saying was Kabashal. That's how he resolves the contradiction. However, Amos Sefer, look at the end, in other words, of the order of how the Perakim are going. Go to the third parak on the Flamat Alpha and Beis. There the Mishnah says, He viu loyasad tamid, they would bring the carbon tamid for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim. Karatza, he would cut it. Now what that means is that he would cut enough to be a kosher slaughtering, a shechita, which would mean he would cut the majority of the two pipes that were in the animal, but not all of it. And the reason was because he himself had to quickly go ahead and get a container to receive the blood, because all the avodas of Yom Kippurim, although generally it's done with many different kahanim, one slaughtering, one receiving the blood, everything had to be done with the Kohen Gadol himself. So he only just gives a quick shechita. Umeirk Achen, another one, finishes off shechita al yaday, the slaughtering for him, and then he gets the blood. Nichnas lahakta sekitaris, then he goes in to bring in the kitaris. Ulehete vesaneris, and to clean out the menorah. Now, obviously, what we're talking about over here, when we're talking about cleaning out the menorah, must be talking about the remaining two, because there is no opinion in the machlekes that we brought before that would have keteres before the first five. So it must be over here when we're saying that you bring the keteres and then you clean out the menorah, it must be the remaining two. Now, Asan Rabbanan comes out that the third parak, the Mishnah later on, says, is coming out like the opinion of the Rabban, who has Keteris before the Menorah, again, as we said, before the remaining two. So it comes according to Rav Papa, it's difficult, because you have Reisha V'Seifa, you have of our Masech, the Masech L'Suma, you have our Mishnah here on Daf Yedalet, then you have the Mishnah later on in Daf Lamed Alf, who are both like the Rabbanan. Yet Umetziyasa, although they're all being said anonymously, we're going in the order of the structure of the Seder of Masech L'Yuma, comes out that the middle one is Abishal. And that's challenging because our whole Masechta essentially is like one big Mishnah, because it's talking about the order of what was done regarding the Avodis and specifically regarding the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim. So how could we have such a thing that the Reish is Rabbanan, then the middle is Abishal, and then goes back to the opinion of the Rabban again? So I'm looking at in, yes, Reish is Rabbanan, Mitzias Abishal, that's exactly what it is. Although there are different opinions and they were stated anonymously, the Reish is Rabbanan, Abishal, and then back again to the opinion of Rabbanan. So now the Gemara concludes regarding these two different approaches, how to resolve the contradiction from our Mishnah and the Mishnah later on Daf Chafei, regarding which one came first, the Keter or the Menorah. So on that the Gemara says, Bishle Mela Abaya Lo Mekarab Papa. We can understand why Abaya, who we quoted from the previous Daf, that he didn't give that resolution of the contradiction like Rav Papa did, because what comes out is, as we just pointed out before, Reisha V'Sefer Rabbanan, and it comes out that the first Mishnah and the later Mishnah in the third parak are like the opinion of Rabban. Umetziyasa Abishal loy mukum, like, doesn't want to say such a thing to say that we go ahead and we change the opinion and then we change back to the prior opinion. However, El Rav Papa, my time alone with Abaya, why didn't Rav Papa give the resolution to Abaya give, which sounds like a good one, especially that going according to the opinion of Rabbanan, that Keteres comes in between the Hatavas of the Neiris, so that makes a lot of sense. Our Mishnah that says that Keteres was before was talking about the remaining two candles of the menorah, because that the Keteres interrupted. And the Mishnah later on that says that no, the cleaning out of the menorah came before the Keteres was talking about the first five that actually came before the Keteres were brought. So Amalach Rapap would tell you that Tana Bereisha Hatovish Deineris, you tell me the Tana first, which is in our peck, the first peck, and if you doubt, first he talks about the remaining two candles that are cleaned out, Vahadin, and later on in the second peric, Hatavas Chamesh Neiris, and then he goes to talk about the first five candles. According to Abaya, first peric is the remaining two, and the second peric is the first five, but that's out of order. That's why it doesn't say like Abaya, because it doesn't make sense to talk about the remaining two, and then only later talk about the first five. Now, Abaya would tell you that that's not a question, because in this Mishnah that we had in Daf Yudal, in the first peric, where we talked about, essentially, that's what the structure of the Mishnah was talking about, the 7 days that the Kohen Gadol is separated, and then we say he throws the blood of the Tamid, and that's where it came into this discussion that he brings the Keteres, and then he cleans out the Menorah. It wasn't going on the day of Yom Kippurim, and therefore it wasn't particular about how it structured the order of his day and what he was doing in the Avodis. Rather, Oiru ba'almahu dekamari. It was just teaching us this lesson that the Kohen Gadol has to be busy doing the avodas all the 7 days that he's separated, so that it should be proficient and efficient and be ready for Yom Kippurim. And therefore, it's not challenging for us why it talks about the remaining two, because that's not the focus. However, the sidra, the order of the yom of that day of Yom Kippurim, hahadr tanale, that's said later on in the second parak. Where there, it actually starts over with the order, where it talks about first the first five candles that are cleaned out. Then in the third parak, which is still in the structure of the day of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim, that's where it later talks about the remaining two candles. And therefore, it's not a challenge to Habaya, that question why Rapapa would not hold like him, because it's not out of order, because here we're not talking about the order in this parak. We're talking about just the avodas he should be doing the 7 days before, when it actually talks about the avodah of his day, which is on the second parak. And then the third parak, it goes in the proper order of the first five, and then the remaining two. So now the Gemara goes back, Gufa, it quotes the text of what was quoted on the previous daf, which was brought into the discussion, a Mishnah Masechtas Tamid. So the Mishnah there said, "Boloi lekaren mizrachas safin." So it was talking about the order of the carbon tumet every single day. This is how it was done. The kohen that was throwing the blood of the carbon tumet, he would first come to the northeastern corner of the mizbeach, nason mizrachas safin, and there he would throw the blood on the corner, which would then get both sides, because it has to be shnayim shenarba. You have to do two throwings of the blood, which end up being four, because on the corner you're getting two sides. Then he would come to Maravis Deroimus. Then he would circle around counterclockwise, come to the southwest and corner of the Mizbeach, and nice Maravis Deroimus, and then he would throw a Zrika over there. Now, Vatani Allah, we learned on this Mishnah, a Braisa, and this was quoted on the previous daf too, that Reb Shimon Isha Mitzvah Mishana B'tamid. Although this is what everyone holds was done by a regular Karban Ayla, Shimon Isha Mitzvah held that this was different by Karban Tumet. So although Karban Tumet is a Karban Ayla, it's fully sacrificed on the Mizbeach. However, it had a different halacha in regards to that Bola Lekar Mizrach HaSafayinis. First he would come, as the Tana in the Mishnah Mizrach Tumet said, to the northeastern corner of the Mizbeach. And Nisim Mizrach HaSafayinis, and there he would do his Rikav Adam. Then he would come to Meravis Duraimis, and this is where he deviates. So he would come to the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach. First, Nason Marava. First, he would do one Zrika just on the western wall of the Mizbeach. Ve'achach Nason Drem. And then he would do a separate Zrika of Dam on the southern wall of the Mizbeach. So that was what was quoted on the previous daf, and that was brought into the discussion to resolve the contradiction between our Mishnah on Daf Yadalad and the Mishnah Masechtas Tamid, which we ended up saying that our Mishnah is like Reb Shimon Isha Mitzvah, and that Mishnah is like someone else. Now the Gemara asks a question on that opinion. My time to Reb Shimon Isha Mitzvah. What is the understanding of the opinion of Reb Shimon Isha Mitzvah? Why is it that he says a Karban Tumet is different than every Karban Oila? It's a Karban Oila, and therefore it should be Shtayim Shein Arba. You should do one on the northeastern corner and then one on the southwestern corner. Why does he say that the second one is split into two? You do first on the west and then on the south. So now Reb Yechanan Mishum Chadir Reb Yanai, he said it in the name of one of the students of the yeshiva Reb Yanai. Says Amar Krat. It says in the Pasuk in Bamidbar, which talks about the Musaf of Rish Chaydish. So it says over there, Usir Izim Echad L'chatzis L'Hashem. There should be one he-goat that's brought as a chatzis for Hashem. Al Oilas HaTomid Ye'osa V'Niska. And on this should be brought upon the carbon oiler that's constantly brought, that's the carbon tomid, that it should be brought, and its libations. Now, the drasha is that it says that the Maisa, the actions of a carbon chatas should be al oilas ha-tumet. It should be superimposed upon the carbon oil of the tumet. Now, what does that mean? A carbon chatas needs to be split up its matanas. In other words, it's not done like the oil that is shtayim shenarba that you could do in compounds. You could do first one corner, which is two, because you're getting two sides, and then another corner that's another two sides, so you're doing two times, but you're getting four. Carbon chatas, you have to split up all four and do all four sides separately. So that is the lesson that the Pasuk is teaching, that also the oil of the Tamid should also have its matana split up, but not that we should totally be mevatlet and nullified from being doing the avoida of what an oila requires, because it is an oila. Rather, but that both halachas should apply. It should be an oila and it should be a chatas. So and that the Gemara clarifies that, so oilihi, so it's an oila. But v'amrachmana avid b'maisa chatas, but the Torah is telling you should act with it like the actions of a chatas. So okay, so how do we resolve that? And that is where Reb Shimon Isha Mitzvah gets his shita that noisin achas shishtayim. First you do one that's two, which is kamay sarla. That's how a regular oil is done. Then you do shtayim shen shtayim. Then you do two that's two, which means to do each side separately, the west and then the southern wall of the Mizbeach, Kamaisa Chatzis, like the Chatzis is done, that each side is done separately. That's the source for the opinion of Rav Shimon Ish HaMitzvah. Now the Gemara asks a succession of questions on this. How would you know that that is exactly how the definition of combining a Maisa Chatzis or a Maisa Oila for the Oila Satomit should be? And that is, Valitin Shtaim Shein Arba Kamaisa Oila. Why don't you do a full-fledged Maisa Oila with it, which is you do two that's four, as a regular Oila is done, and then you do Va'arba Shein Arba, then do four that's four, in other words, do each separately on the four corners, Kamaisa Chatzis. So that way it'll be an Oila, full-fledged, you're doing Shtaim Shein Arba, and a Chatzis, which is four that's four. So now the Gemara answers, no. Le'imetin Adam Shemachapa, we never find blood that creates an atonement, that you already did one kapar with it, and then you go ahead and do another atonement, a totally different atonement. If you already created an atonement by doing the full-fledged Maisa Oila, you can't go ahead and do it the blood again on Maisa Chatzis. But then the Gemara retorts and says, what do you mean? But did we ever find what you're trying to propose? That blood's that half of it is done like a Chatzis and half of it is done like an Oila? It's an Ela Karcha. So rather what you have to say is, the Pasuk is equating them, comparing them to do Chatzis and Oila. So Hanami Bakarcha and Hekesh Nakasa. So here also, you would have to say that the Torah is comparing it to say to do both the Maisa Oila, which is Shtayim Shein Arba complete, and Arba Shein Arba like a Chatzis. And then the Gemara says no, because you can't compare the two. What you're trying to propose would be redoing a whole different avodah of chatas that was already done with an oila. However, what we're proposing, hasam pisig matanis ba'almahi, all we're proposing is just to split up that last avodah of that last spraying on the mizbeach. And that is, since the maisa oila that we usually do, and now the Maisa Chatzis that we're deviated to are in the same corner, it's not so obvious that you're really doing a Maisa Chatzis. So therefore, it's not like doing a whole nother kapar with it, because we're really doing that southwestern corner. We're just doing first the west and then the south. Therefore, that wouldn't be a challenge to say that that's what the Pasuk means to say, that to add on the Maisa Chatzis onto the Maisa Oila. But then the Gemara still asks and says, okay, but however, Menesiv Acha Shishtaim Lamata Kamaisa Oila, if you're saying that we should do half in Maisa Oila, half in Maisa Chatzis, so do the first half, which is one corner that's going to be like two sides, like the Oila is done, and that's because the blood of the Oila is thrown below the what's called the Chuta Sikr. There was a string that separated the lower half of the Mizbeach and the upper half of the Mizbeach. Now, the Oila's blood was thrown below. So let that one be on the northwestern corner, a northeastern corner. Let that be below the Chuta Sikra. But then Shtaim Shein Shtaim should be Lamaila Kamaisa Chatzis. But then the remaining two, that's two, which means that we do each side separately, should be above, that's above the Chuta Sikra, like the blood of a Chatzis, which is generally thrown above the Chuta Sikra. Now, since this last throwing of the blood, we're saying that we should split them up into two. Essentially, we're equating it as a Maisa Chatzis, so we should do it exactly like a Maisa Chatzis, which is above the Chuta Sikra. So that the Gemara answers, but no, loy metzinu dam shechetzin lamayla v'chetz lamata. We never find such a thing that half of the blood of a carbon should be below and half it above, and therefore that we won't stretch the Pasuk's interpretation to mean that we're adding on Chatzis a Maisa Oila to say half above, half below, because that we don't find. But again, what we're just doing is we're just splitting up that corner that we would be doing anyway, like a Maisa Chatzis, but to split half above and half below, that we can't say. But on that, the Gemara asks, v'loy, is that really true that we never find that you split up the blood of a carbon to have half of it or part of it below and part of it above the area that separates? But now we learn the Mishnah later on, the fifth parak, Defnun Gimon Beis, that talks about the avodah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim, when he's throwing the blood of the par opposite the thickness of the kapiris that's on top of the aron. So the Mishnah tells us that he's a mimeno achas lamala v'sheva lamata, that he would throw the blood one above and seven below. Now the Gemara assumes right now that we're talking about regarding the thickness of the kapiris, that there would be one above and seven would be below. So we see that we do separate in an area that's a division to have part of it above and part of it below. So how can you say over here that that can't be the interpretation of the pasuk to have the chatas above as is usually done? And that the Gemara answers, no, kematzlef. When we said below and above in reference to the kapiris, it wasn't regards to the center, the side, the middle of what we're talking about, the kapiris. Rather, when we said the first one is above, we meant to say with the palms up, throwing upward. And the seven below, we meant to say that with the palm facing downward, that's how he does it. Like a matzlev, he's throwing those seven down. So the Gemara says, Mike Kamatzlev, what does it mean that the seven were like matzlev? So Machve Rebbe Huda demonstrated to Meganda. What it means to say is like the Shliach Bezdin, the messenger of the court, when he's hitting, he's giving lashes to the person that's supposed to get lashes with the whip, with the stick, he's doing one, he doesn't hit it in the place where he hit before, he's hitting one beneath the other one, so he would throw up the Kohen Gadol, the one Lamala, but it's not that in regards to any area that would separating one above that separation, one below, it just means in that direction, and then seven below would be Kamatzlev, which means say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, they would go in succession, like the one who whips. He first goes one, and then he goes in a different area, below and below and below, because he doesn't want to hit in the same point twice. But again, we don't have any source to find that in the area that's dividing to have one above and one below. But again, the Gemara asks on that question, on that answer of the Gemara, that we find that we can't make divisions and have half and part up and part down. But v'loy, is that not the case? But now we learn in the Mishnah, later on, Dafnun Chesem and Beis, that says, Hiza mimenu al tahara shel mizbeach shevapam, that the Kohen Gadol would spray onto the tahara, and we're going to explain what that means, of the mizbeach for 7 times, as the pasuk says that he should take the blood, and v'hiza lav min adam, he should spray from the blood on the mizbeach that's there. Now, my lav al pagid the mizbeach, aren't we talking about that it means half point of the midpoint of the mizbeach, and that is regarding the middle point, and that what we said that he would throw it on the tiharai. That's where he would throw the blood onto. Now, why are we saying that it means the midpoint of the mizbeach? Because could the Amri Yinshi, like people say, tohar tihara, which is a reference to when it comes to noontime, tohar tihara is a point of like when it's already gone by halfway, when we're by the midpoint, we use a term hupaga the aima. It's when it's a reference to noontime. So you see that tihara is a reference to half. So if you're throwing 7 hazois, that's what the Kohen Gadol is spraying. Now, if you're spraying on the midpoint, you can't be exact that it won't happen that some of them will go above that midpoint and some of them will go below. So you're throwing on the tiara of the mizbeach, which means halfway, at the half point. That's what the word tiara is. We proved tar, tiara. That's what people say when it comes to noontime. So if you're throwing at midpoint, that means obviously some are going to go above, some are below. And therefore you see that the blood is being divided between the division point of being above and below. So now the Gemara says, "I'm a Rabbi Ashilis is loy." No, that's not what the interpretation of Tahare Shel Mizbeach, throwing the blood 7 times. Rather, as the Gemara continues on to Amud Beis, it means Agufi de Mizbeach. It means on the Mizbeach itself, on the roof, on the top of the Mizbeach. Now, what is the term Tahare? It means that because it was purified, it was cleaned away from the Ketairis that was burnt on the Mizbeach that's inside the Heichel, that they burned there every morning. Now, they would move away, shovel away the ashes that was on top, and then he would spray on the place that was uncovered, that was cleared. The chesiv, as it says the pasuk in Shemais, that demonstrates that this is the interpretation of Tohar. It says, Ucha etzem ha-shamayim l'tohar, that they saw like the essence of the heavens with clarity. That was the divine image that they had. Now we see that Tohar is a reference of clarity, of clear. It means to say that on the part of Mizbeach, on the top, that was cleared away, that's what he would spray, but not that it was on the midpoint to say that some blood went above and some below, because we do not find such a thing that blood of a carbon will be split half above and half below. Now the Gemara asks on the actual halacha of Reb Shimon HaMitzpah, that Maishno de Yov Oyle Bereisha, what is the reason? So he said, that was his halacha. He says that you do half it as a chatas, half as a oyle. But why do we first do the oyle components of the carbon? As he said, first we do the shtayim, the one that's two, like an oila, v'hadu yav d'chatas, and then we go ahead and we do the two that's two, which is how a chatas is done. Nesav b'reishu d'chatas, let's first do two that's two like a chatas, v'hadu nesav d'oila, and then we should do the one that's two like an oila. Why do we do the order of oila than chatas? So that the Gemara answers, kiven de oila hi, since essentially the carbon tumah is an oila, it's fully sacrificed on the mizbeach, in all other respects, it's like a carbon oila. So he cut me bereshu. So first we do how an oila is done, and then we deviate as a chatas for the second half. Now the Gemara asks, however, umayshna diyav mizrachis sefaynis umayravish deraymis. Why do we do that? We do it on the northeastern corner and then the southwestern corner, but nasiv deraymis mizrachis, we should do it on the southeastern corner. V'hadu and then, and the Vilna Gaon takes out the word and then, because essentially that's not what the Gemara is asking. It's not regarding order that we're asking on, but rather, why do we do the corners that we do, which are the northeast and the southwest? We should do the southeast, and Sefaynis Ma'aravis, and the northwest. Why do we pick the corners that we said it has to be done on? You could do any two corners that are opposite of each other, thereby getting all 4 sides. So on that, Ami, they said that Oila to Uni Yisoid. We're talking about the Karban Tamei, which is an Oila. Now, the Karban Oila needs a foundation of the Mizbeach. I mean, the way the Mizbeach was structured, was built, was that on the bottom was an Amma Yisoid, which is that there was a foundation sticking out, an Amma beneath the actual box, the square, the structure of the Mizbeach. And the Karban Oila needs that its blood should be put on a corner that has beneath it a Yisoid, a foundation. As the Gemara Masechta Zvachim says, Daf Nun Aleph Min Aleph, says in the Pasuk, El Yisoid Mizbeach Ha'Oila, that should go to the foundation of the Mizbeach Ha'Oila. That's what the Mizbeach was called. But the drasha is that for a Karban of Oila, that's Mizbeach Ha'Oila, should be a Yisoid, a foundation beneath it. And therefore, as the Gemara says, so if we say that the Karban Oila, which is a Tamer, has to have a Yisoid, the Karandurim is Mizrachis Lahavali Yisoid. However, the southeastern corner of the Mizbeach did not have a foundation, and that's why we couldn't do it in that corner. As we say in Masechtas Midas, in the third parak, in the first Mishnah there, it says that the Yisoid, the foundation of the Mizbeach, went along the entire northern part of the Mizbeach and along the entire western part of the Mizbeach. Now, the Yisoid went one Amma into the eastern part. That's where it meets in the north. So that's where an Amma came onto the eastern part. And the south, it also went one Amma where the west meets the south. However, there was no Yisoid on the majority of both the east and the south. And most definitely, therefore, there was no foundation on the southeastern corner. And the Gemara says in Masechta Zvachim, Daf Nun Gimel Beis, that the reason why there was no Amma Yisoid on the entire eastern and southern part was because the Mizbeach was built in the portion of Binyamin. And however, there was an Amma literally jutting out from the portion of Yehuda that went into that part of where the Mizbeach was. And that's why there was no Yisoid built over there, because that wasn't part of Binyamin's Mizbeach, because actually Yehuda's portion jutted out into where the Yisoid should have been, and that's why there was no Yisoid over there. And that's why, again, it couldn't be on the southeastern corner, because there was no Yisoid, and the Oila, which is what the Tamei needs a Yisoid. But now the Gemara asks regarding the order. But why do we do first the northwest and the northeastern corner and Vahadra and then Marobis Teremis, and then we do the southwest? Let's first do the southwestern corner, and then we'll do the northeastern corner. Why is it necessarily in that order? So now the Gemara answers that Kivin the Amamar, since the Master said, which is a reference to Abraisa of Ram by Yecheskel later on, Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, that Kolpina Sha'ata Poina, every turn that you're making a turn, you should always be turning towards the right, and that is towards the east. Now, as Rashi clarifies, that essentially what we're talking about over here doesn't apply this added word of towards the east, but rather that was borrowed because of where this term was used in, was in regards to what it's brought down in Masechta Zvachim, which is that they always talk about where should the placement of the ramp be for the Mizbeach, and that is, as I said, that the ramp should be on the southern part of the Mizbeach. And that's because learned out from the pasuk that says Umalaseu Pinois Kodim, and that is you should put the milus, the ramp getting up to the Mizbeach, should be on the Dharm on the south. Now the reason for that is because since all your turns should be towards the right side, and therefore regarding the Mizbeach, that's what it applies over there. Because on the Mizbeach, when you're coming up from the ramp, if you're going to the right, you're going towards the east. So that's why it uses that term of all your turns should be towards the right, which is towards the east. But regarding our sugya, it really should have only said that all your turns should be towards the right. Again, not really applicable towards the west. And therefore, the Gemara says, since you always go to the right first, Bereisha Bahu Paga. So the first thing that you encounter when you're going up on the ramp and you're going towards the right, you come to the southeastern corner first. Now, that's the southeast you come to first. But as we said before, we couldn't go ahead and do the Matan Dam of the Karban Tamei on the southeastern corner because there's no Yisoid over there. There's no foundation over there. So therefore, he would continue circling on the right side. As we said, you go to the right first until he came, as we're going counterclockwise, to the northeastern corner. And there he would do it. Now, Rashi clarifies again. He says that although, even for the Karban Tamei that we're talking about, doesn't apply coming up to the ramp and saying if you're going around the ramp and you're going towards the right, the first thing that you come to is the southeast, and then you can't do it there, so you should do it on the northeast, because the Karban Oila actually, which is what a Tamid is, was done on the Ritzpah. The Kohen that was doing it was on the floor. He never actually went up the ramp to do it on the top. So, and he would have a vessel in his hand and he would throw it towards the Mizbech, and it would hit the corner, as the Pasuk says, Vizorki, he would throw it. And that's because he was beneath the chut, the string that was there in between splitting up the Mizbeach. However, Rashi still says, it still applies that since by Karban Chatos, which is its blood is put on the top of the corns, of the corners of the Karen that's on the Mizbeach, so for Karban Chatos, you have to go up to a ramp, which is on the southern part, and then you would turn to the right, which is towards the east. So therefore, all bloods followed that same structure as the Chatos, that although we're putting the blood beneath the Chatos Sikra, and therefore you're throwing it from the ground, you would start from the southern part, which is where we go with the Karma Chatos, and then you would turn towards the right, which would be on the eastern side, as if that's the entryway coming toward the Mizbeach is, and then you turn towards the right, and as we said before, it couldn't be the southeastern, so therefore it was the northeastern, and then you have to do the exact opposite so that you can get two, that's four, which would be on the southwestern corner. Now the Gemara asks on the source of the drasha of Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzpah, and that is, Umemai debi oilu hu dekam rachmana. How do you know that the pasuk is telling you that regarding an oilu, which is what the Talmud is, Ovid b'maisachatas, that is what the Torah is then compounding and saying, oh, we should impose also the halachas of chatas on the oilu, so therefore not only do we do it as an oilu, but we make the carbon tamid, which is an oilu, also as a carbon chatas, but maybe it's the reverse. But Dilma b'chatas, maybe the chatas of what the context of the pasuk there is told about of the sarah of Rish Chaydish, maybe that karma chatas who the kam rechman, the Torah is telling you that ovid b'maisa oila, that we should make that chatas as an oila and do some that are two in one. How do you know it's that reverse? So nothing more says loisa k'dach. You can't entertain such a thing. Tachsid, because it says in the pasuk in Mamidbar, it says regarding the chatas, it should be al oilas ha'tomid ye'asa v'niske, that it should be a imposed upon the carbon tumid is to be made and its libations. Now, my kamer rachman, what's the Torah telling you? Midi di chatas, the components, some of the halachas of chatas should be shod the should be thrown and imposed upon the carbon oila because it's saying al oila. So we see that the chatas is in the oila, not that the oila is in the chatas. Now the Gemara continues. Tanan hasam. Linda within the Mishnah Masechtas Tumim, as Rashi elaborates, and he says that essentially this Gemara does not belong over here regarding the Seda of our Masechta, Masechtas Yuma. Now, the reason why the Gemara brings this here is because there's a unique phenomenon that we had in the previous Sugya, which said on the previous daf, Man Tana Seda Yuma. Who is the Tana of our Mishnayis, of our Masechta, which essentially are like one big Mishnah? And that the Gemara said, Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzpah. It's Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzpah. Now, we never fully heard that a source supporting that he is a Tana of our Mishnayis. The only thing that we heard was that he argues on a Mishnah that argues on our Mishnayis, which is the one, the Tana that made the Seder of the Tumid in Masechtas Tumid. Now, based on that, we said that, okay, so our Mishnah is not like the Mishnayis of Masechtas Tumid, and we know someone else that argues on the Mishnayis of Masechtas Tumid, so we say that Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzpah is a Tana of our Mishnayis. Now, that's a unique phenomenon which we don't find anywhere else in Shas. And therefore, the Gemara goes ahead and establishes a similar sugya with the same principle based on that, since we know that he's not like that, so therefore he must be like ours, who's also not like that, as the Gemara illustrates. So we learned over there in that Mishnah Masechtas Tamid, Amalem HaMamuna, the appointee, that's the Skan Kohen Gadol, the second in command to the Kohen Gadol, he would tell to the Kahanim, Tzuvu Haviyu, go out and bring a carbon Tamid, a tle, which was a lamb, milishkas besatlam, from the chamber of where the lambs were kept. And that is because they would put aside checked lambs, which were called bikur, that they made sure there was no mum, that it was proper and fitting to bring it on the Mizbeach. As the Mishnah tells them, Masechtas Erechin, that they didn't have less than six lambs that were ready and checked in the lishkas atlam. So he would tell them, go ahead and bring it a lamb so we can bring a cup of tumin from there. Now, v'haloi, and this lishkas atloyim, this chamber of the lambs was in the northwestern corner. Now, northwestern corner of what? So as the Gemara will shortly illustrate, of the Beis HaMikid. Now, the Beis HaMikid was a large hall, a large area, where they would make big fires so that the Kahanim could warm themselves up. And the reason was because the Kahanim had to walk barefoot on the floor of the Azara, so there shouldn't be a chatzitza between them and the floor, which was made out of marble, which was very cold. Therefore, they had this big room which had these fires so they could warm themselves up. Now, in the corners of this big room were these small little chambers that opened up into the main hall, which was the Beis HaMikdash, as the Gemara will illustrate shortly. So now, the Lishkas HaTloyim was in the northwestern corner of this Beis HaMikdash. Now, as the Mishnah tells us over there in Talmud, the Arba Lishkas Hayisham. There actually were four chambers in the four corners of this Beis HaMikdash, of this place where the fires were. Achas Lishkas Atlam that we just described. One was the chamber of the lambs, which was in the northwestern corner. The Achas Lishkas HaChesamas, one was the chamber of the seals. Now, what this means is that they would put all the seals, which were like some type of receipt that people would come to purchase when they had to bring certain karbanas, so they would purchase the flour and the libations from Hektish, they would pay money, and instead of everyone having to go and purchase their own, Beis HaMikdash would buy in bulk, and then they would sell it to the people, as it's taught in the Mishnah Masechta Shkolim, and the Yudalim and Beis, that says that there were four different seals, these types of papers, receipts that they would have in the Beis HaMikdash, and on them would be written Egel, Gedi, Zachar and Chayte, and these were signs for the lambs and the rams and the bulls and the three different animals that the Metzora had to bring. Now, whoever needed Nisachim would come to the one that was appointed over these Chaisamas, these seals. He would give him money according to the amount of Nisachim that he needed. He would get that piece of paper, that seal he would get, which would say how much Nisachim he paid for. Then he would come to the one that was appointed over the Nisachim, he would show him this Chaisim, he would show him this seal that he showed that he purchased it, some type of like a ticket. Then he would get the Nisachim from him, as the Mishnah over there illustrates. So therefore, this was the room of the seals where they would put these receipts. The Achas Lishkas Beis HaMikdash, one of them was the chamber of the Beis HaMikdash. Now what that means is there was a small little room that was called Beis HaMikdash, which opened up into the big Beis HaMikdash. So there was this little room that opened up into this big room where the fire was called the chamber of the Beis HaMikdash. And finally, the fourth one was Achas Lishkas She'osim Bo Lechem Upon Them. There was one chamber, which is where they would make the Lechem Upon Them, the showbreads that were put on the Shulchan from week to week, which was that of the household of Garmu, which is there is where they would make the Lechem Upon Them. So that's one Mishnah. However, v'riminu, we have a contradiction from a Mishnah in Masechtas Midos, where there it says a different structure of that Beis HaMikdash. It says, Arba Lishkas Hoy LeBeis HaMikdash. There were four chambers in the Beis HaMikdash, that these four chambers opened up into that big room of the Beis HaMikdash, and they were K'tayniyos HaPsuchas LeChaklin. They were like these small little rooms opening up into the main hall. Shtayim BaKodesh, two of them were in the holy area, and two of them were in the unconsecrated area. And that's because the Beis HaMikdash, half of it was built within the confines of the sanctified part of the courtyard of the Azara, and half of it was in the unconsecrated part. Now, the Rashi Pispasin, they were the tops of these posts, which were like these pieces of wood, that were Mavdilin, that separated as a sign in the place where you had to separate Bein Kodesh L'Chol, between the holy area and the unconsecrated area, because there's different halachas. Now, Umahoy Mishamshir, so the Mishnah Masechtas Midos asks, what did these four chambers that opened up in the Beis HaMikdash serve as? So it tells us that Maravis Deraimis, in the southwest, Hiyoysa Lishkas Tloy Har Karbon. That is where the chamber of the animals for the Karbonis were put. We continue the top of Tezayin Amid Aleph. Deraimis Mizrachis, in the southeast, Hi Lishkas Hayoysim Balechem Upon. That was the chamber where they would make the Lechem upon them. Mizrachis Safayinis, in the northeastern chamber, that's where the kings of the household of Chashem Noim put the bricks, the stones of the Mizbeach that were defiled by the Greek kings, and that is because they had served on it Avodah Zarah in the Beis HaMikdash. And Safanis Maravis, the northwestern corner of that chamber, through that chamber, that's how they would go down to the place of immersion of the mikveh, which was below. That room took them down. Now, the contradiction is regarding the Lishkas HaTzloim, which here the Mishnah Masechtas Midos is telling us that it was in the southwest, yet the Mishnah Masechtas Tumet says that it was in northwest. So that's a contradiction, that's a stira. So that Amar Rav Huna tells us that Man Tana Midos, who's the Tana Masechtas Midos, that the Mishnah that we just quoted that argues on the Mishnah that we first quoted on Masechtas Talmud, that is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. It's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that the Stam Mishnayos of Masechtas Midos go like him, and therefore, although that this is a contradiction, it's not a contradiction because it's actually a machlekes. It's two different opinions, and as will be illustrated in the coming daf, there are riyas and supports, but again, we never find clearly that he's the Tana, and that's why the Gemara brings this discussion over here to show the same idea that although it's not said clearly, but through the proof, through the logic that we say that it must be this Tana who's the Tana of these Mishnayos, like we said for our Mishnayos, a Masechtas Yuma, a Reb Shimon Nesha Mitzvah, certainly the Gemara is saying that that's the Tana of Masechtas Midos, as will be discussed on the coming Daf, that he is the Tana of Masechtas Midos, is Reb Elazar ben Yaakov.